So this is Thursday, next go at home retreat. It's still 2020. It's still this week. And I hope you've had a beautiful break. I hope that after our diving into some of the beautiful things that happened during the last break, that you took great care of yourself over this hour. And let me see, Tracy, nice to see you outside. Mm-hmm. Love that. There was a discussion going on just before we officially began about inside and outside and wherever you are. I hope it's a beautiful moment for you. Anything bursting to be said without which we can't simply dive in. Another new segment for you that I'm so looking forward to sharing with you. Good? Okay. So the theme for today is opening, opening. And the way I see that word opening, and all of these build on each other, you know, to begin in abundance is to unplug that scarcity mind, to not be driven by those old stories that were somebody else's anyway, that somebody else said about who we were or what we could do or what might be possible or not. And to open up to an abundance right here, right now, that's right in front of us, not something experienced tomorrow, not something someday, but now is really lousy, but just opening to the abundance of this moment here and now when we really pay attention. The letting go series, that in order to do that, we got to let go of a whole bunch of the stories that have had their grip on us, let go of what other people have said, let go of sometimes some of our old habits, let go of, and in this case, our relationship to words and where they think they come from and what we think drives them and who we think our listener is. Sometimes it's that editor listener. They're, oh no, they're going to judge me. They're going to think that it's wrong. And then we get all tight and bothered and letting go, even in every single breath, that as we exhale, there's a deep letting go. We might not even notice it consciously, but we don't know when there's going to be a next breath or not. Our bodies, right in the rhythm of things, teach us to let go when we're paying attention. When we let go of all that stuff, there's so much that we're hanging on to that we don't need. We need, it can be even personal stuff. A couple of years ago, I moved twice in the last, 5 years. I lived in the same place for 20 years before that. I got rid of about 75%, maybe 80% of what I own. I just realized, like every somebody told me a few years ago, and it landed in me so much, every object in our world requires our energy, whether it's conscious or not. Every object. And I'm like, oh, right, this piece of paper, where does it go? This Kleenex box, where do I store it? This teacup even that I love, I don't want it to be broken. And you know, maybe the Dalai Lama doesn't, you know, it doesn't require energy from him because he's on some other spiritual plane or whoever your spiritual leader is. I don't know, Martin Luther, somebody, right? But so I just got rid of physical stuff even, you know, letting go. And loving kindness. Well, if we just make a space, kind of like creating a vacuum, and if we don't put something else inside that, then, you know, what are we going to fill it in with? All that old stuff comes rushing back in. What if we put loving kindness at the center of that? Yesterday we were learning, I mean, it's the antidote to hatred. I didn't even mention that. It's the antidote to fear. It's the antidote to anger. And so what is it to have practices of loving kindness? And in the West, it's so uncommon to start with ourselves. If we're building a company, we've got to love on our clients, on our team, on ourselves as growing this company. There's so many places for love, loving on our words. Instead of sending them hatred, what if we sent them love? What if we loved them? You know, this community, love your words, love your life. What is it to truly love on our words? And we did a deep, deep dive on the ideal listener, different from the ideal client, but foundational to the ideal client. When we actually have somebody in our lives that we've envisioned, that we've imagined, that we've experienced, who actually listens to us, it changes the world. In what we're able to say, in what we're able to envision, in what we're able to create and imagine. And Wendy's story, profound, about, you know, what one person can say, the power of words to stop us. And then the opposite is true as well. The power of words, when we tap into them, to create a difference in somebody's life and to create what we can imagine and then actually bring it into being. Well, if you think about the power of both our words and our listening, and I think of Dottie's face, it's like, hey, I forgot to watch you listening, right? The power of her words to bring us into listening, and the power of our listening to light up her face so she looked 10 years old in the best sense of the word, right? So some of the places that we've been, and many, many, many more. It's just, we have a theme each day, but lots more stuff happens than just the naming of this theme, of course. And today, the theme for the day is opening. And I think of opening as opening to something bigger than me. Opening to whatever that word is for you, God, Spirit, the universe, my highest self, Buddha, my inner child, I don't know, whatever that is for you, there's something bigger than our conscious everyday self. If there wasn't, then we wouldn't end up with such words that are rooted, that come from somewhere else, that come from more than just this conscious self that we think that we are. We have access to so, so much more. And whatever that force is for you, here's what I do know. When I watch entrepreneurs who think, well, I've got to do it, and I got to do it alone. I used to teach at the university as the myth of the Lone Ranger. It's a myth, right? Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, even in those kinds of old stories, right? Not alone. Or even we think of somebody climbing Mount Everest for the first time. Look, they did it. And we create stories about them. They did it alone. Well, what about the Sherpa that guided them up there? We forget about that person, right? And the others who were climbing with them and served and supported them beforehand. So we're not an island. And both with the people that surround us, maybe it's the trees, maybe it's the environment, maybe it's the beauty of the natural world. What Wendy was saying about her grandfather, his spirit, and the way that nature around her can listen, and that changes her world, at least as I heard her articulating it. That was beautiful. So for entrepreneurs to go, okay, I've got to do it alone because it's always been me and nobody can get it right just like I do, so I've got to do this. And then my job is to do only the things that only I can do. And your beautiful different articulations of that, I loved that. I'm not doing it alone. I'm not remotely doing it alone. There's some force so much greater than me, even in the people around me. It's huge. I mean, it's huge. I mean, I say even, but the people around me, a force greater than me, God, the universe, myself, spirit, source energy. I don't know what your word is for that thing that's bigger than me. But it's at the heart of living life as a reverse paranoid. The universe conspires to support me. I must think that there's an animated something, soul, spirit, something in the universe that is conspiring to support me. And then I look for evidence of it and I find it because what I focus on expands. I'm not saying bad stuff doesn't happen. I know you guys know that I know that. I couldn't in authenticity say bad stuff doesn't ever happen, don't worry about it. Or I couldn't also in the same breath say, hey, my man died a few years ago. Didn't expect that, didn't want that, you know, among many other things. But it's an easy example to go to in my own life. Yes, yeah, stuff happens. But something is larger than me. There's some, even if I can't see it, there's some bigger purpose. There's something else happening. There's a force, there's a wind at my back in ways that I can't articulate, that sometimes I don't even know, that sometimes, and now a prayer from my childhood is coming to mind. And again, my editor's going, don't say that because it doesn't matter to me what your religious, spiritual beliefs are, what you think of the world or the universe. It's not required. There's no particular belief required to hear this, other than to think that you're not an island, right? That's all that's required to know that you're not alone, right? Even you're sitting on a chair. Somebody built it for you, you know? You're not alone. And so the prayer from my childhood, my editor saying don't say it, but it touched me. There's different ways that this could come into your life. I remember there's a story. It says, you know, it was my, well, there were two, there were footprints in the sand. You know that prayer? Some of you might know it. Footprints in the sand. And, you know, and there are two footprints, and there's, in this, it's Jesus and myself. And so, and then at some point, you know, at my heart, it's, wow, it's going to bring tears to my eyes. It goes deep in me because it's from my childhood. And I heard that story over and over, right? So how come it's the hardest time there's only one set of footprints? Why? Why'd you leave me? Have you ever felt like that? Like I am all alone and I'm so mad at whatever it is that's bigger. I'm just like out of here. Ever felt that? felt that angry, that upset with the world. It's like, I'm seeing lots of nods, right? And the way that prayer goes is, why was, oh, wow. It doesn't usually bring up this emotion, but it's bringing it up in me. Why were there only one set of footprints? Wow, goodness, unusual. Because, thank you, Yvonne. Because, my child, it's then that I was carrying you. Wow. Sometimes when we feel most alone, we're not alone at all. There's something bigger than us that's working. And when we know that, everything changes. Everything changes. If you get what I'm talking about, raise your hand. I am not alone. We've witnessed it in this circle here. So beautiful. When I know that I'm not alone, something wakes up inside us and in the world. Like Wendy talking about the world around her, the nature, and I listened to. It was so beautiful. It's like the world is awake and alive. It's vibrating. I see different things in the objects around me, in the person in front of me, in who I am. It's a beautiful description of how this world wakes up in a book called 1 Year to a Writing Life, 12 Lessons to Deepen Every Writer's Art and Craft. 1 Year to a Writing Life by Susan, I don't even know how to say her last name, Tibergen, T-I-B-E-R-G-H-I-E-N, 1 Year to a Writing Life. She writes this. In my journal, when I write about ordinary gray pebbles, sorry, in my journal, when I write about ordinary gray pebbles at my front door, I see hundreds of them at my feet. They all look pretty much the same. Gray, dull, and uneven in shape. But if I pick one up in my hand and write about it, it becomes unique. I see that it's shaped like a house, like the drawings I did as a child. I imagine a door. The pebble is a small world in itself. In writing about it, I touch its mystery. It's the same if I write about an oak tree in the park or my grandson or a swing in a ray of sunlight. My words take me deeper. Marion Woodman writes, my journal, we were talking about journaling earlier, my journal became a mirror in which I could see and hear my truth resonating in my own daily experience. Can you hear it? Can you hear it there? That world vibrating, awake, alive, so much bigger than our ordinary everyday world. And a bunch of pebbles there, whatever, and I got to go do it. I got to get to it. I'm here alone. There's so much on my to-do list. Such a different world we enter into when we remember the world is awake and alive, and I am so not alone. Like Dottie's face lighting up earlier, going, can I see you listening? And in that moment, she's knowing she's not alone. And that's a moment like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Remembering that there's something bigger than the everyday us we think we are. And if you don't think that this has business applications, right? And creative and business applications, and I hope you're all hearing it. Because man, we got to work so hard and we push and push and push when we don't remember this. I want to share with you something from Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. And he talks about, you know, the value of things when we can see the world in this way, a lake vibrating, scintillating from a different perspective, same teaching. In case you ever want to look it up, page 26. But don't worry about that right now. Just listen to the words. Even a stone, and more easily a flower or a bird, could show you the way back to God, to the source, to yourself. When you look at it or hold it and let it be without imposing a word or a mental label on it, a sense of awe, of wonder arises within you. Its essence silently communicates itself to you and reflects your own essence back to you. It reflects your own essence back to you. Did you see that in Dottie's face? In this case, something, someone reflecting her essence back to her. This is real. This is tangible. This happened just a little while ago, right in this circle, this essence of what he's talking about here. This is what great artists sense and succeed in conveying in their art. Van Gogh didn't say that's just an old chair. He looked and looked and looked. He sensed the beingness of the chair. And he sat in front of the canvas and took up the brush. And the chair itself would have sold for the equivalent of a few dollars. The painting of that same chair today would fetch in excess of $25 million. In case you think there aren't any practical applications or creative applications in how we see the world in Awake and Alive. And for me to even mention that makes it too utilitarian, makes it too small. Do you get what I'm saying? There's something bigger here about our lives, about how we see the world, about what's possible to us in every waking moment when we see. Opening to something bigger than ourselves. Opening to possibility, opening to, I'm so not alone. Those words are inadequate to what I'm trying to express here. Our words help us tap into this. Remember seeing Steve's face. Man, none of that meant anything to me, and that's okay. It's perfect. It's like different things for different people. Until I set pen to page and started to write. Then awake, alive, hearing it. Experiencing it, that was a moment like Dottie's face for me. Like Wendy and her grandfather and the trees, when we live from that place, building a company is a whole different thing. Doing our work in the world is a whole different thing. Holding a strategy session is a whole different thing. How are we seeing that person? Are we seeing them like us, just a chair? Or am I seeing that person? Opening something bigger than ourselves, God, spirit, source, energy, your highest self, whatever, your intuition, whatever you name that thing that's bigger, so you don't have to do it all by yourself. You're so not alone. Our words help us tap into that thing, that essence, that source, that something bigger. But remember the rules of writing that Natalie Goldberg says. Don't worry about that. I'm trying to point us to something larger. It was just a finger pointing to the moon. And she says, go with the concrete, go with the particular, go with the tree or the sycamore and just keep the pen to the page and trust what comes. And also, we don't have to be all in our heads about it. We just write what comes and trust there's something bigger. Trust that my pen is going to work its way across the page in ways that have roots deeper than what I know. I don't have to control it all. Just something is going to emerge. That is exactly coming from me, that is something of my signature in the planet and my connection to this something larger in the world. I don't have to force it, I don't have to make it happen, it's already there. I just set the pen to the page and write. If you heard anything from what I just said right now about pen to page, about something larger than us, about its deep value for our lives and what we build, raise your hand. If you heard even one scrap of something of that, thank you. All right. So here's what I would like you to do. Just close your eyes. Have something to write with. We're going to write in a moment. Have something to write with beside you, but close your eyes and forget that in a moment you'll be writing. Try to stay right here, right now with this moment and this breath and close your eyes. And I want you to just let these words drop in like rain. I'm actually going to read it twice. So no raga, no attachment. You don't have to hang on to these words in any way. Just let them, you're going to hear them twice. No holding, just enjoy them. Just let it be what Virginia Woolf used to call a moment of being. Just be here. Let it drop in like rain. This is a summer's day by Mary Oliver. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. Who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Just breathe those words in. Softly open your eyes. And as I read again, don't try, no effort needed. As I read it again, you can jot down one or two or three words. Just whatever words are leaping out at you, just trust the random. It doesn't matter what that word is. Just jot it down. One, two, three, four, five words. When you hear them, they're resonating. Just jot them down. Don't think. Just enjoy the words. By the time I finish reading this time, there's going to be a word on your page or maybe a couple of them. The Summer Day by Mary Oliver. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who's eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. Who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? You have a word or two or three on the page in front of you. Start with one of those words and then write what comes. Don't think. Just keep the pen to the page. Trust where it goes. If you're not sure what to write, write that word again or write one of the other words and keep on writing. We'll write for a few minutes together. Keep the pen to the page. Begin. And finishing the last sentence or two. Taking the writing to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. Thank you. I'm going to do this differently than we've ever done before in the 11 years of Mexico. Team doesn't know this. Here's what I want to do. I want us to hear all of these words. I could feel the awake aliveness of every single person in this room. So beautiful. And I want everyone to get a chance to be heard the way we saw Dottie's face lighting up and Steve going, oh, I listen with the eyes. I want us to get a chance to listen to everyone here. This is a short writing that we did. So we're going to listen to all of these pieces without responding to begin. Just hear the words. We'll honor them actually in the quiet. Just give them your loving presence. Where's Mary Kay? We'll just hear them. No pause, even for applause. Dottie knew that Steve was listening. People know when they're listening. Does that make sense? We're just going to listen. I'll call out a name. You'll choose to read or choose not to read. Know that there are people present in this room listening. And then watch how you're playing. What's your quality of attention? This is going to allow you to practice the best of your listening skills, to listen to that voice, and then a different voice, and then a different voice. Every single time listening for, what is it that I love there? What is it that I, what stays with me? What do I remember? We'll listen to all of the pieces. And then I don't think it will take very, very long. So just a short writing to hear them all. And then we're going to come back to a few of them. I almost shouldn't mention this right now. Let me see, but it's too late now I've mentioned it. You're going to have to train your mind to let go of that future. We'll hear a few of them from a few people who choose so that we get a chance to listen and respond with our words. All right, so we'll listen to all of them without saying anything. And then a few people will volunteer to come back to theirs. And we'll get a chance to see what it's like to respond with our words. And all we're going to say, this is what I loved. This is what I remembered. We'll treat all the work as fiction. If I say in my piece, my daughter Dana, or my team member Yvonne, you're going to say that the character in that piece, the narrator, the mother in that piece, you treat it as anonymously, and I want you to listen in that way when we're listening to everybody's pieces too, as though you picked it up in the street, you didn't know who wrote it. We focus on the writing, not the writer. We make it as anonymous as though we picked it up in the street, and we only focus on what we love. After all, isn't that what our highest does? The best inside of us, don't we always just see what's beautiful and good, and from there it grows? It's like a little kid learning to walk. We don't say, you fell down. Stop that. We know that when it's a little child. You say, you stood up once. Oh my goodness, look at that. And then they fall down 20 times. And then they start, look, you stood up. And they learn to walk that way. Our writing learns to walk and run in the very same way. So I want us to practice listening in that way. And then we'll get a chance to respond as well. Only what we love. Clear? Are you excited to hear these pieces? I am. Yeah. Let's go. Yvonne, you happen to be in my upper left-hand corner. You're up. How are you going to read it, by the way, Yvonne?
This is the best piece ever. My favorite author.
Can you tell it's not her first rodeo? Beautifully said, owned, embodied, practiced over many years. Thank you, Yvonne. And all we're going to do, again, just a reminder, listen with all of you. When she finishes, she's going to look up. It's going to be clear that she's finished. Give her our attention just for a breath or two. Stay with her just for a breath or two when she's done. That attention alone, that's a practice, right? for her to receive that. And then I'll call the next name. Yvonne.
As we stroll through the fields on this beautiful summer day, I pause for a second. We are both standing there, watching the eagles soar in the sky above us. They are such majestic birds. There are quite a few of them in this area, so we usually spot a couple a day. The sky is clear, beautiful blue, no cloud to be found. As we take in the sights, we glance over at each other. No words are needed. We know what each other's thoughts are. We have been together for a long time. We continue to stroll down in silence. You stop. As you look into the distance, I follow your gaze. Oh, you spotted a deer. And wait, there's a little one too.
Teresa.
I begin just absorbing the imagery, slightly repulsed by the grasshopper. The author savors being. I move into that state, just being. Air, fresh or in house, the slight sun, my personal being, various parts of me clamoring about their own being. Suddenly, I'm brought into a sense of obligation by the ask of what I will do with my wild, precious life. At an immediately subsequent moment, I recognize the challenge in it. It sounds not large, but the emotional message of the words is not light.
Marie.
I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I know something about what it's not. It's not words I've memorized. For me, prayer Marie, is more of
you're a breaking up. Hang on, Marie. Can you hear my words?
Sense of connection so deep it goes beyond words.
Marie, you're breaking up. We can't hear you.
Okay, yeah, I can hear you. I'm going to change computers.
So we'll come back to Marie. And Marie, if you can hear my voice, you can also dial in. Okay, so she'll come back. We'll come back to Marie. Mary Kay, you're up.
The jaws moving after she ate sugar, then washing her face. I love watching this with animals. I don't know if I can finish.
It's okay, take your time. We have all the time in the world.
Cats relishing their food, dogs taking treats. I love seeing dogs, cats, ants, horses enjoy their food. They know what they want in that moment, munching, crunching, sloppy spit, licking their lips, the way their mouth opens and closes and slurps, and they want to get every single little bit. If any is dropped, Bucky is fast as lightning to get it. A spot on the floor, checked out by Sundance, missing nothing.
Thank you. Marla.
I
Marla.
She sent a message and said she can't read right now.
Okay.
In the chat.
Okay, thank you for that. Thank you. Yes, I see it now. Thank you, Marla. Are you guys able to hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you. No problem, Marla. We can come back to you or not. Your writing is yours to share or not as you choose, okay? Thank you. Barb, you're up next.
I think about the grasshopper, and so I immediately think about the praying mantis family we heard about this morning that was found and released. I don't pay much attention to large bugs. Small bugs are often squished, but our aunt would catch them and set them free outdoors. The grasshopper had huge eyes. We've been talking about looking in others' eyes. Do the tiny bugs have eyes? Mosquitoes? How am I valuing their lives?
Marie is back. Go to Marie.
Can you hear me now? Is this better?
Much better, thank you.
Okay, yeah. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I know something about what it's not. It's not words I've memorized. For me, prayer is more of a feeling, a sense of connection so deep it goes beyond words. As I sit outside and look at all the fresh green leaves of spring moving in the breeze, that's prayer. As I hear the yellow goldfinches moving about in the trees above me with their particular sounds, that's a prayer. When I see my children and make eye contact with them, that's prayer. I suppose what it comes down to is that prayer is rooted in love. No matter what the words are, it's all rooted in love.
Steve.
Life is a prayer. What do I plan to do with my one wild and precious life? Be of service. Help those small business owners get up and get going. On to allow them to do what they plan to do with their one wild and precious life. Enable them to be of even more service to their clients. To allow them to do what they will do with their one wild and precious life. And so it continues to expand outward and upward in service, always in service as a living prayer. Amen. So be it.
Dottie. Wendy, my daughter, lives here. It's so much fun, so much fun, so much fun. Wendy could marry a millionaire and live in a home on the ocean. She could have stepchildren and step-grandchildren who adore her. I'm so grateful to have Wendy in my life. Sometimes she's a brat, but much of the time she is elegant and the greatest joy of my life. This innocent little person was given to me by God to love, nurture, and be friends with.
Wendy.
Floating in the river on a warm, hot, sunny day reminds me of the blessings discovered in idleness, the fun, the laughter, not a care in the world, What seems so calm and peaceful suddenly becomes wildly entertaining as my floating device is turned upside down and I'm flung into a very unexpected adventure. It's funny because as I stay present in each moment, there is no complication, just joy. Joy as I bask in the full spectrum life, basking in the sun and in the cool water suddenly surrounding my entire body. Basking in the laughter, in the connection, and basking in the being of this moment.
Me. The grasshopper in my hand. A bird in hand is better than two in the bush. Why is that? Bird in my hand, like my daughter in my arms, cradled, soft, soft, bare skin, baby soft, smelling of breast milk, sweet and sticky, soft hair, soft eyes, blue, blue eyes, like the color of the Alberta blue sky. Blue sky day today, no clouds, just blue and sun, the sun I've barely seen in these last few months, hiding from the sun in Thailand, skin cancer, but also basking in it as I've never done before, basking in its rays, oh so beautiful, oh so beautiful now that I feel you in small doses. Like my daughter these days, catch a glimpse of her eyes, her smile, and she's gone. 21 years old tomorrow, will I see you? Maybe COVID in Rob's house now. No, no fear, only wanting, longing to see you. To run my hand through your hair one more time, my daughter, grown a young woman now. Sherry.
I don't know exactly what a prayer is, but I do know about strolling in the garden, observing. Observing the state of each plant. I've done it so often for so many years. I have unique conversations with each bush, with each plant. They are each different, have their own personality. Oh yes, the tournament of roses, the beautiful pink, prolific bush, glossy leaves, and the faultless, gorgeous pink flowers. Joseph coat of many colors, a wedding gift from Marga, and now a remembrance of her. I can no longer talk to her in person or on the phone, but we have amazing conversations at the rose bush. Or even at her art pieces. Is this prayer? Who knows? It is soothing.
Lindsay.
Blessed. Often in life, we focus on what's lacking. Today, I am constantly being reminded of every single blessing. I was grouchy as my husband woke me to kiss me goodbye this morning. All I wanted was to sleep, and now that I had been woken, that was gone. How blessed am I that my husband takes time each morning to kiss me goodbye, usually not waking me. Today, however, he wanted to be sure that I felt that kiss and that I heard his I love yous. I am so blessed with a man who loves me like he. My daughter, she comes to me upset, tears running down her cheeks. How blessed I am to be the mom chosen to be there for her in this moment.
Sergio.
Enjoy life, go to the beach. And relax. Enjoy the waves, the sun, water, crabs, the cliffs behind, the trees, sunlight, the sand on my feet, a cold water shower, swimming at the beach. Just rest, feel and enjoy. Going to the lake, walking, going to the gym equipment, lockdown signs, ignore, exercise, walk next to the water, going past the water bubbler and bridge.
Tracy.
Start walking. Go forward in my business. Keep walking. It's not always easy, but so rewarding. Keep your chin up. There's so much over the hill. What comes next in my journey? Who will I meet? Where will I go? Who will have a changed life because of the products that I am offering? Who needs more happiness, a better mood, more mental clarity? Who doesn't?
Marla, I want to return to you in case you want to read now.
I didn't write anything. It just made me really sad.
And so it is, and so it is. Sometimes it's sad. And sometimes we so want to push it away. Do you get it? Don't be sad, cheer up, it's going to be okay. Sometimes for ourselves, we want it to go away. It just is. Just sad. What is it to be with somebody else when they're sad? Thank you for letting us know, Marla. Thank you for letting us in. Thank you for saying. That takes courage. This is falling into the marsh. And it happens.
I can't hear you at all if you're saying something.
I was saying something. Were you guys able to hear me? Yeah.
I have no sound.
You can't hear me? Okay. Someone else say something and see if she can hear you.
Marla, this is Marie. Can you hear me?
I'm back.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know what happened.
Okay. Yvonne, will you write a note to her, tell her to try going out and coming back in again?
It's fine now.
Oh, you can hear now. Okay.
Just went off for a little bit.
Yeah. Wow. So what I was saying, thank you for sharing. That takes courage to share that. And what I said was, this is falling into the marsh. And it happens. It happens. And then for everybody else, sometimes we just want to push it away, feel better. Here's a Kleenex, pass through it, go to the next moment. It just is what it is. It's okay. Sometimes we're sad. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for letting us in. So here's falling into the marsh. Are you willing to lean in later today to receive support as you choose, as would help you? Yes. Okay. Who would like to be first in line for Marla? It's a great thing. Sherry and Lindsay, your hands. With so many hands going up. Sherry, Lindsay, Mary Kay, Sergio. Goodness, there's more, Dottie. Okay. Yvonne, you got down that order and you guys will sort it out. You heard your name. And Marla might not be able to take in who said what. So it's going to be on you, right? Because sometimes when we're sad, it's hard to hear. It's so interesting that she couldn't hear at that moment. It was something technical. But I'm reminded of when my mom found out that I had to have heart surgery when I was 6. She's a nurse. She's trained. She deals with stuff like that every day. She said, I couldn't hear a word after that. I couldn't hear anything the doctor said. Because when there's emotion there, sometimes we can't hear. So if Marla didn't hear who all those voices were and all those hands, and Yvonne's got it. You guys got it. Marla, they will reach out. Thank you for receiving. Okay. Notice the desire to want to move past or move through it or make it better. It's not about that. Leaving a space. It's okay when we're sad. Sometimes we're sad. Sometimes it doesn't go the way we want it to. It's okay. We're not alone. No better illustration of what I was just talking about before our reading. Not alone. Thank you, Marla. Okay. What I'd like to do is hear from one or two or three of you about this experience of writing and reading and listening. Because what happens in a room where we get to hear each other's voices like that, and this is a very different kind of energy than our 1 minute ding, isn't it? Very different energy. Words take on very many different moods. Writing is a patchwork quilt. Different kinds of pieces came up, but there's a different quality of attention, different quality of writing in the room. And I'd love to hear what your ahas are. Ahas are things that are cultivated. Ahas are things that we practice, and then we see more and more and more of them. They come our way because what we focus on expands. So what's opening for you right now? What did you notice in that writing and reading and listening? And in what I shared with you beforehand about opening? Any one of those, not about the particulars of anybody's writing, about the experience. Who would like to share first? Yeah, Mary Kay, thank you.
The listening was clearer. And deeper and more open, and it's like I could hear everybody a whole lot better.
I love that. And wherever it came from, it could be a multitude of things. How you are personally, what you just ate, where we are in the retreat, the kind of prompt that it was, the time of day it is, the quality of listening that we have been practicing, and so many other things. The call to presence in the way that I set up this writing for you. And I know everyone was here and present. It could have been any of that and so much more, but I love your observation of it. Yes, I heard you hearing. It's actually, you were already listening so beautifully. It's why I called on us to hear all of these. I wasn't intending to do that. I saw you all so present, both in the writing and in the listening before we even got to that. I'm like, I want to hear all these. Let's hear them all. We were only going to do the second part where we hear a few of them, but I'm like, we can't miss this. Thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful. What else? Who would like to share next? Sherry?
Speaking into the quality of listening that was present was an extraordinary experience.
I get it. Beautiful observation. It's like there was such presence and such a listening in the room. Could y'all feel it? Oh, that was beautiful. How often are you in a room like that? This is a very, very amazing, special, beautiful group. You guys, each one of you, you are amazing. And that quality of listening that you named so beautifully here, Sherry, it reminds me of that moment of Dottie calling our listening and asking us to, you know, asking to say it again. And then we all listened in even more. And then we saw Dottie's face lighting up like she's 10 years old. And that happening, it's like that happened writ large across the room. That's how I saw it. That makes sense to you? Can you feel that too? And again, I want to say that's what I was feeling. I'm getting lots of nods across the room. And a room is filled with individual people. All could be experiencing multiple different things. And that's okay too. Some people might have heard, I didn't hear anybody listening and I couldn't hear anybody. And that's all perfect too. Many different experiences, like Jasmine's experience of Peaceful Warrior. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. I love that, Sherry. Tracy.
It's interesting, when I was writing my piece, it wasn't so emotional as when I read it.
Mm. Thank you for that observation. I love that. We don't know what it is when we're setting pen to page. In fact, it's often our editor who's listening to, you know, what we're writing. Yeah, whatever, that's good. When is this writing over? Oh, I don't know what else to put. Michelle told me to write, you know. So not necessarily that bad. That's, sometimes it is. But sometimes there's like two little cells or hints of that. Something just detached, something a little bit judgmental, something a little bit, you know, also trying to protect ourselves. It's like, well, if it's nothing, whatever, because sometimes there's something really important there and our editor wants to push it away and not notice it. We don't really even know what that writing is when we set pen to page. We just trust and we just write and we just write. And that's like what I said about when I read it 6 months later and I go, I didn't know that then. I know I didn't know that then. How did that get onto the page? And it's an experience like what you just had in minutes. I didn't know all of what was on the page. I had no idea that's what I heard you said, that was so emotional. There's more on the page than meets the eye or that we can possibly see. And that builds a trust in our words. That, when we pay attention, can build a trust in our words. Because like, if I know that I don't know all of what's down there and that my words have roots and there's more there than I think, than meets the eye, then I'm going to have the courage to write or the practice of writing, or I'll go back to it more easily. Because I know that I don't know. It makes sense? I don't know what's on the page. I know there's more there than I know. So I'm just going to go with it. Thank you for that, Tracy. Beautiful observation. What else? Who would like to share? Wendy, thank you.
I just loved like listening to all the pieces, and I loved that everybody had their own individual unique story, but they were all interconnected in a way as well. And I remember multiple times just listening and soaking it in and just being like, feeling like it was so yummy, and like even saying, like I was just enjoying it and soaking it in.
Love that. I love that, Wendy. And I'm like that with writing. I was like, it's like eating good food. It's like, oh, yummy. Yeah, the words there, and they're tangible, they're palpable, they're real, they take on a life of their own. And I love that you said that they're both uniquely their own. Every single one of these pieces, no one was like the other. Could you hear that? And then also paradox, thank you for pointing out that paradox, Wendy, and they all have this thread of connection. And that can be for all kinds of reasons. Some people go, wow, there's an invisible connection between us that we can't name or fathom. And some people go, no, there's not. That doesn't exist, right? Or whatever. But there's also this, the energy that we're in the room that's set up by the words that precede. There's the energy of the poem itself and Mary Oliver's words. There's multiple threads of connectedness. And then when we remember when there's things that it reminds me of Sesame Street. Things are different, things are the same. Do you remember that from Sesame Street? Some of you, one of these things is not like the other. And I've contemplated that for decades since, you know? These things are both same and different, and that's really profound. What Wendy said is really profound. These things connect us. Our words connect us. And they also describe our very complete uniqueness both at the same time. Thank you for that, Wendy. I love that. All right. Yeah, Steve.
And I have to add my amusement that Marie's technical glitch caused her to move right in front of me, where she said, I don't know what a prayer is. And then I answered that with my writing. And again, the universe conspires to support us.
Yes. Okay. One of my teachers, I'm sure he wasn't the one who invented it, said, you know, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. God, the universe, highest self, whatever that is for you. It's just like, what a coincidence. She's right there in front of me. Oh, how beautiful. The universe has conspired to allow that to, you know, a coincidence, that beautiful alignment. What, I don't know what a prayer is. Oh, here's what a prayer is. How beautiful is that? And noticing it here, we can trust in the divine coordination of things. When something comes up that we might not think is good or right or aligned, that something deeper is happening. And that trust changes the quality of that moment, changes our lives. Thank you, Steve. Love it. Lindsay.
Well, I loved the stories. I have to say that I jumped out of my chair and clapped and hooted and hollered when Dottie remembered to unmute herself. And I got really excited and I looked around and I'm like, why is no one else as excited as I am, you know? And it just, like, I was listening to her story, but more so in that moment, like, I felt like because she remembered to unmute, it was the first time where she believed she was being heard. So.
Oh, Lindsay, I got chills running through me. How beautiful is that? Thank you. Yes. All right. Anything else bubbling up, really wanting to be said right now? Because I want to do another piece with this. But I wanted to get a chance to hear what we heard. Yes, Marie.
I'm going to have to leave. And I think this is probably a good place to. But yes. If you can just let people know I'm available for privates later, that would be great.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marie. And Yvonne, you've got us on this, right? Yes, thank you. And thank you. This is the perfect time, Marie. Marie is leaving in service, actually, to all of you. She's been so in service in so many ways that there's lots happening invisibly here for you. So thank you, Marie. you can pass it on, Yvonne. So thank you, as she goes. All right. So for this next part of what we're, anything else about bursting to be said? Okay, what I'd like to do now, because it's a profound experience to hear and be, to listen and be listened to hear and be heard, and to set pen to page, write, share. These are profound experiences, much deeper than it sounds. Like, again, this is don't go and tell your family this. What did you do? Well, there was a poem, and then I wrote something and I read it. Yeah, and? Some things are hard to put into words, that what was just experienced here, but we all know we were here, right? So another layer of this, to read, and what we've been doing silently all along, to be responded to only with what we love, only with what stays with us, only what, that was beautiful. I love that. That's it. And that itself is profound, both to be responded to in that way and to respond in that way. And again, just like we spoke of before, that the more I do this, the more I find that the most profound part of that is the listening and the responding, more so than when people are responding to something that I've written, something that has, you know, that develops. And I see Yvonne nodding, right? Both are beautiful. So I want us to get to experience this collectively. And again, here are the guidelines. And this is so important for the safety of the writing circle. We all said, you know, somebody has said something. Remember what happened with Wendy that she shared with us. Thank you for the courage to share that. Somebody says something and it can just pull the rug out from underneath us. And even, or my mother saying, oh, that sounds hard, dear, to do a PhD, right? And the work, the inner work that I had to do, even though it was my mom who loves me like anything, right? Only what we love. This is newborn, fresh writing. We don't go to the baby and say, what an ugly nose. We just don't do that. It's not in us, and it ought not to be here either. Newborn, baby, fresh writing. We encourage it to be grow and live in the same way that we do with our babies, right? So So I'm going to encourage maybe one or two, maybe three of you to share your piece. And then a few people are going to respond. Here's what I loved. Nothing technical, nothing special, just I remembered this, I loved that. This moved me. The writing is as anonymous as though we picked it up off the ground. We refer to the narrator or the character in the piece because all pieces are fiction once we write them down, right? We don't know also where people's tender spots are. Like Tracy discovered, she didn't even know in her own writing. Somebody writes about a waterfall, that's where they had their most profound moment and where their partner of a lifetime proposed. For somebody else, that's where their lover died, or that's where they lost their best friend, or whatever it is. We don't know where people's tender spots are. We treat all the work as fiction. Make sense? Because it already is by the time we write on the page. I might be saying Dana, and I really was thinking of her cousin Dawn. It's just the word that fell onto the page. So what we love, what stays with us, not going off into our own stories, just staying with the writing at hand. And both the listening and the reading and being responded to are profound experiences, but don't get hell heavy about it. We just do it and enjoy. Who would like to share their piece? We'll have one or two or three of you do this. We heard it once, we'll hear it again. Okay, Tracy and then Yvonne and then Sherry, thank you. So it'll be Tracy and then Yvonne and then Sherry. And oh goodness, okay, I was gonna say one or two or three, but it was Dottie who raised her hand next. So I'm gonna say we're gonna do four, all right? Because how could I not? You understand that, right? I mean, I want that from my heart to yours for every single one of you. But Dottie, having just been listened to, right? How could I have it in me to go, no, I'm sorry, it's three. It's like, you know, letting go of my plan. Four is perfect. So how are you going to listen? The same way we've been listening all along with all of you. How are you going to respond? Now, I want you to notice that editors can be rampant here. And so just breathe and be. So, you know, Yvonne might have an editor. It's like, well, you know, like, and I'm just naming the editors to do some preemptive editor proofing. So Tracy reads first and then Yvonne reads and Yvonne's editor is just spinning and wow, Sherry said something that she loved in Tracy's, but she said nothing of mine. She probably hates mine or whatever, right? Or somebody looked like they were about to say something or there was a pause and then nobody had something to say. They were all just thinking. Sherry didn't want to say something about everything and she was letting somebody else go. There was a pause because people were trying to be polite. Like, just watch how you're playing. If editors come up both in the listening or in the reading and you're listening to people respond to you or as you're responding, oh, I said something. I shouldn't have said that. That sounds stupid. Everybody else is smarter. Just like we have so many editors around our words. But this process is so healing for words. It is so beautiful. It is so creative. And it's so very simple. Tracy's going to read. We'll tell her a few things just for a minute or two. Here's something that I loved. And not everyone will respond. We'll have a couple people respond. We'll move on to the next person. Sound good? The process is simple. And as if you've done this before with me, you know it's profound and very simple. Tracy, and how are you going to read this piece, Tracy, so that we can hear it?
With as much enthusiasm as I can.
Yeah, and some of your words are cutting out. Did you guys get that too? Yeah, okay. So read slowly. Like this is your favorite piece by your favorite author. And we might miss a few words. That's the Mexico at home part. And oh, well, we'll hear exactly what we're meant to hear. We'll hear at least some of the words. If we miss some, it's all good. It's all perfect. It's just as it's meant to be. Tracy, go ahead.
There's part of the story that I forgot.
There's part of the story that you forgot, did you say?
Yes.
Just say a couple, before you read, say a couple sentences because I want to make sure it's not so broken up that we actually can't hear. Tell us.
But if I go to my phone and I'll go one of the next ones, change.
I agree. Yes, because this time it was clear, but I really want that clarity. So Tracy will go second and we'll start with Yvonne. Thank you, Tracy.
As we stroll through the fields on this beautiful summer day, I pause for a second. We are both standing there, watching the eagles soar in the sky above us. They are such majestic birds. There are quite a few of them in this area, so we usually spot a couple daily. The sky is clear, beautiful blue, no cloud to be found. As we take in the sights, we glance over at each other. No words are needed. We know what each other's thoughts are. We have been together for a long time. We continue to stroll down in silence. You stop. As you look into the distance, I follow your gaze. Oh, you spotted a deer. And wait, there's a little one too.
Thank you. What did you hear here? What stays with you? What do you remember? And just you go ahead and unmute. You're waiting for me to call you. Okay, Sherry, go ahead.
I heard the intimacy, the closeness, the shared love and passion that this author was expressing of these two characters. It was like a peephole into their relationship.
Love that. And Sherry, do you remember any word or phrase that, like, I know it's like, oh wow, the whole piece. But so that Yvonne can hear it too, like just any one piece that you happen to remember. If you don't, that's fine, but that spoke to this intimacy.
Oh, we had been together so long, we knew what each other was thinking.
Yes, thank you. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have you unmute each yourself, so I'm not calling the person. If two people start talking at once, you guys will figure it out. One will speak first.
Both standing there. And no words.
I love the surprise of the deer and the fawn at the end.
I loved the one seeing through the other's eyes. The deer was such a beautiful moment because it's another moment of that intimacy and connection. That person sees and the other one sees too. Linked and connected. Thank you, Yvonne. Beautiful. Beautiful. Tracy, are you in a place where you think we'll be able to hear you now?
Yep, I think it's better.
Yes, that sounds better. Say a couple of sentences.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, very loud and clear.
Okay.
All right, so Tracy, how are you going to read this?
With as much enthusiasm as I can.
Now, can you hear there's a little edge of striving in that, in Tracy? Could you hear that? So it's like, how about, you know, I'm gonna repeat those words again. This is your favorite author. And it's not even that you have to strive to do that because it's already inside you. Can you hear the difference? Because it's just your favorite author. And so of course you've been waiting for a long time to share this favorite author with a dear friend. And so it says, what a moment of delight that you get to share these words because you've loved on these words for so long. It's your favorite author. Can you hear it?
No, not really.
I love that. Satya, that's all right. Well, I'll tell you what. Read it strongly and it'll be perfect.
Okay.
Go for it.
The summer day, nature, there's so much more than we realize. Notice, just notice. Start walking, go forward in my business. Keep walking. It's not always easy, but so rewarding. Keep your chin up. There's so much over the hill. What comes next in my journey? Who will I meet? Where will I go? Who will have a changed life because of the products that I am offering? Who needs more happiness? A better mood? More mental clarity? Who doesn't?
Thank you. What did you hear here? What stays with you? What do you remember? What do you love in this piece?
Tracy, I loved the connection between being present and noticing what you're noticing and that giving you the courage to take the next step.
And the character having the courage, the character in this piece having the courage to take the next step. Yeah, when the narrator says, I'm going to take the next step, thank you. Yeah, beautiful, Wendy.
Sorry.
And don't apologize. No worries. I will always help you. And they're just like, it's a practice way of being, to speak narrator, to speak character. Beautiful observation. Thank you. What else?
I loved how you, when you started talking about the people. When the narrator started speaking about the people, and I could just hear and feel the love that you had and the care that you had inside of you.
The love and care that narrator had inside. It's a practice, right? It's a practice, right? Love and care, beautiful. I love it. What else?
And the cherry on top was, as you were explaining, the gifts of the product that you offer.
The gifts of the product that the narrator offers, yeah.
How the narrator at the end said, and who wouldn't need the thing?
The clarity of that, the simplicity of that. Who wouldn't love that? Yes. What else?
I loved how the narrator wasn't attached to those that may not follow on that journey.
Love it. I loved the series of questions. It just gave me chills, and there was this, who doesn't need happiness and more joy and so on and so forth, right? So the question, and as the questions piled up, then the answer landed so strongly for me. Who wouldn't? The setting up of the question and the answer, beautiful. Thank you, Tracy. Beautiful.
I loved how the narrator took us on a journey, and we did twists and turns, and it was an adventure. And then it was, well, who wouldn't love this?
And the chin, thank you, beautiful. And the chin up, there's certainly a hint of challenge. Like there's a volume spoken about challenge in just a few words. We don't know the details, but we know there's a hill to climb. Beautifully put. Thank you, Tracy, beautiful. All right, I know we could keep going, right? Always, right? And this is the practice. And as we learn to listen, there's more and more and more that we love. Do you get it? It's a skill that grows. And let me see. I want to go to Sherry. I hope you don't mind, but you're practiced at this. And Dottie is newer. So I'm going to have Dottie go next and then you. Is that all right with you? Can you permit me to change the order here? Thank you for that permission. Dottie, you're next.
If my daughter Wendy lives here, it will be so much fun. So much fun. So much fun. Or Wendy could marry a millionaire and live in a home on the ocean. She could have stepchildren and even step-grandchildren who adore her. I'm so grateful to have my Wendy in my life. Sometimes she's a brat, but much of the time, she is elegant and great. She is elegant and the greatest joy in my life. This innocent little person was given to me by God to love, nurture, and be friends with. I'm so grateful.
Thank you, Dottie. Beautiful. What do you hear here? What stays with you? What do you love in this piece?
I love the timelessness of not knowing whether the character is a child or grown, or, you know, not really knowing what that is. So it was like timeless all the way through.
Lovely.
I really love the tribute of love from a mother and how lovely it was. And then that little bit of mischief of sometimes the character's a brat.
That word brat, isn't that great? I love that that repetition of so much fun, or, and I expected to turn into the thing that wasn't going to be fun. And then that was delightful too, be a millionaire. So that was a fun twist in the piece, unexpected, and loved it. Yes.
Thank you.
And I heard the attitude of gratitude coming through even when the character was a brat.
Thank you, Steve. Love it. Thank you. And again, we could always continue. The more practice we are at listening, the more we can hear the beauty of those words. And when we can hear it, we can hear it in our own words as well, sometimes first in another and then in our own. Beautiful. Well done. Well done in the reading. Well done in the listening. And Sherry, last but absolutely not least in this round, and you have done this before, thank you for waiting and thank you for finishing us off for this round. How are you going to read this, Sherry?
Oh, with love and excitement.
Thank you.
I don't know exactly what a prayer is, but I do know it's strolling in the garden, observing. Observing the state of each plant. I've done it so often for so many years. I have unique conversations with each bush, with each plant. They are each different, have their own personality. Oh yes, the tournament of roses, the beautiful pink, prolific bush, glossy leaves and faultless, gorgeous pink flowers. Joseph's coat of many colors, a wedding gift from Marga, and now a remembrance of her. I can no longer talk to her in person or on the phone, but we have amazing conversations at the rosebush or even at her art pieces in the garden. Is this prayers? Who knows? It is soothing.
Thank you. What did you hear in this piece? What stays with you? What did you love?
I love this narrator's genius gift of descriptive words that makes you feel like you're present in the garden.
Thank you, Wendy. Now, can you remember any, and if you can't, that's fine, but one or two or three, what words do you remember so Sherry can hear those particular words too? I may say all of them, but what would, can you think of one that you remember offhand?
I loved the descriptions of the, like each bush and tug of war of the bushes, the coat of many colors. There's like this tug of war going on between the bushes, kind of almost a little competition. But yet the narrator also helped us to own the uniqueness of each gift of the garden.
Lovely. Thank you. Yes. What else? What stays with you? Did you love in this piece?
I like the conversation with the bush and then the conversation at the rose bush.
Yes, and it's actually a conversation with the life in the garden. And it feels so conversational. I don't know how to say that. But it's just like, of course, conversing with the garden. And then the poignancy of the one who can't be conversed with but can. So it was so moving. Yeah. Thank you, Sherry. Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. We're going to wrap up this block and our day together today. We just, so we'll be here together just for a few more minutes just to wrap things up and to give you some home play, some easy and gentle home play for this afternoon. But I want to tie a bit of a bow on this. And first I want to say magnificently done. This was truly beautiful in how you read, in how you heard, in how you responded, in how you received the responding to those words. This was brilliant and beautiful in my books. And I wouldn't always do this with every group, but you guys are ready. If you want, if you didn't get a chance to read and you want to share your work with a partner, you can go ahead and do so today or tomorrow, or the next day or next week if you want, right? But you must remember the guidelines and enact them. Normally, I wouldn't even suggest it, but you guys did that so beautifully. Remember what Wendy said about a few words and what happened, right? These are newborn baby pieces of writing. Only what you love. You refer only to the narrator, even if you think it's that person's experience, it doesn't matter. And if either one of you, as you're responding, slips in those guidelines, the other will remind you, and don't take offense if they remind you. Oh, you're starting to slip into something that's wrong with this writing, and please don't do that, because it's really delicate. Or if the person themselves, well, you know, it's really not so good. I didn't like that part. No, don't say that. So we practice together, right? And if that person says you about you, and it's not me. None of these pieces is it me. The narrator, the character, and we practiced that together, got much better at that. So if you choose to, you can go ahead. It's a wonderful and extraordinary experience, but only when those guidelines are absolutely, strictly, without exception, followed. So if you're planning to do this, do you promise me that you will follow those guidelines? And if you get corrected, you won't, you hands up. I need to see everybody here. I'm going to say, like, nobody read these, all right? Everybody? Okay, Dottie, I see. Okay, thank you. Good. All right. So I'm actually going to give you the home play first, and then we're going to finish up consolidating what we just did here, because this home play follows so beautifully from what we just did. It's talking about the poem talked about strolling through the gardens all day. That's your home play for this afternoon. To go for a walk, I suggest go for an hour, go for at least an hour, but you could go for 5 minutes if you want. You take this up in whatever way you choose and notice something that you've never noticed before. That's it. Go for a walk. Go notice something. Pay attention. Go notice something you haven't noticed before. That's it. Enjoy. That's home play number one. Home play number two. And Wendy, thank you for the inspiration. So beautiful. I've been at home here myself, dancing in my living room to various songs. One in particular I've been playing over and over and over again. Wendy's been dancing in her, was it your living room? I think that is a beautiful practice. We move our things that are inside us through the body. Go for a walk, move it through the body. Move it in dance. Dance and song, music. Steve, I know you know, music is the spirit of it's the soul, right? So go find a piece of music that you love and dance to it like nobody's watching, and don't let anybody watch. So dance in your living room and clear out the house if you live with a bunch of people. Dance in your bedroom if there's going to be somebody else there. Dance in your backyard. I don't know. Dance on your balcony. Only takes a few minutes. Your favorite song is probably a couple minutes long, unless, hey, if it's Bohemian Rhapsody and you watched the film last year and it's like 6 minutes long. Remember that if you saw the film, right? Then you'll be dancing for 6 minutes. If you want to dance to 10 songs, go ahead. But your home play is to find that song that you love and dance your heart out. Dance like nobody's watching. Dance because it's beautiful to move the body and dance. And if you need something more utilitarian than that, somebody whose work I've been studying for a couple of years, he's got a beautiful and big, you know, multi-million dollar business that comes from deeply from heart. And he says every event that he's at, that he trains at, the more he dances and the more with his whole body and self, and the more, the crazier he dances, the more people invest. And it's a more successful event from the business standpoint. And then the more people he's able to serve. So in case any of you, I'm not detecting that any of you needs a utilitarian reason, but it's like, Michelle, what does it have to do with business? There's an anecdotal story anyway, and I've heard him tell that story more than once. I know he believes it in every cell of his being. I know I've seen that at Peak Potentials too. It was really interesting. The ones who did like dancing their heart out when there were dancing moments, there was something alive and awake in those people. And it tended to correspond. I'm not trying to say like, wow, you know, I'm not a dancer, so therefore I can't build a business. Don't do that to yourself. I'm just trying to, in every word that I can, give you permission to dance your heart out. Do you get it? Like this part will land for some people. This other part will land for some other people. Pull whatever you want from that to dance your heart out. And if you've got something going on in your body that goes like, it's really hard, well, then dance in your chair. Adapt. Adapt. Find the music of your soul. Play something that you love and dance your heart out to it. Those are your two home play assignments for this afternoon, with an optional reading together if you want today or tomorrow or the next day. That one's optional. The other two are strongly suggested, but it's always home play. if you're going to go out and go, I hate walking, but Michelle told me to do it, I'd rather that you not do it, but I don't detect that energy here. Those are your two things to do in the spirit of opening, of course. And also, watch how you're playing with your family, or maybe you're on your own. How is it that you, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life today? Here's a chance to practice. I want to be with my family. I'm with them. I don't want to be with my family. You just let them know you're given an assignment. You don't have to tell them that it's like to be really happy and right now they'll make you grouchy. I don't know, right? What is it you plan to do? How do you want this day to go for you? That is your home play for this afternoon. Make sense? Can you hear the spirit of everything that we're doing today in this? Thank you. All right. So anything that because we're going to close the circle, when we close the circle with people's ahas, anything, any questions, anything burning to be said, because we're going to see each other tomorrow morning at 9. So there's two. Oh, right. Thank you, Yvonne. Really important. And Dottie. So we'll go to Dottie first, and then, yes, I know what you're saying, Yvonne. Thank you. Dottie.
My question is, I didn't catch what you said. When you talk to someone and they're sad, or they're mad, or they're, it appeared to me that you didn't match them, that you continued maybe to be happy. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about, yes.
Okay, so would you answer, so my question is, what do you do when you start to talk to someone and they're mad or sad or?
It's a great question. Happy to answer that before we go away, because, hey, you might be with your families right now, and what if the energy doesn't matter, whatever it is. And that's going to, we'll go more deeply into things related, energetically related on Saturday, how we go back out into the world. But sometimes we feel like somebody before me is absolutely miserable. Maybe even for a lifetime, they're miserable. Imagine maybe it's my like life partner or something, right? So I think that I have to be miserable in order to serve them and be with them. So now we're both miserable together. How's it working for you, right? So we have this mistaken assumption, I think, often in the West, that that's how we serve and support people. What is it instead to know that that's that person's journey and let it go? I can't make somebody happy. But I can continue to see the best in them, the most beautiful in them, the highest in them. I can continue to see them through the eyes of source energy, God, the highest in them. My daughter might be acting like, actually, your piece was beautiful in that way. Still a brat, but could you hear that narrator still loving? My daughter sometimes might be like, what? But I'm not looking at how she's behaving in that moment. I'm trying not to. I'm not paying attention to that. I'm remembering who she is when I'm aligned. I'm remembering the best in her. I don't think I have to be miserable with her in order to help her. How is that going to help her? Now there's two of us miserable. It's like I can't get hungry enough to help people not be hungry in the world. I can't be miserable enough to help the miserable people to be happier. I can't be poor enough to help the people who don't have financial resources be richer. What is it to live and lead by example? What is it to see the highest and best in that person? And I begin by doing it, by remembering the highest and best in myself, knowing that I'm connected, knowing that I don't have to do it alone, so I don't feel like I have to push and strive. And then what might be possible? It's a different level of compassion. Sometimes like, wow, I'm miserable. Yeah, I'm miserable too. Isn't it awful together? Joining the Ain't It Awful Club. Or simply holding space for another human being, not needing them to be one way or another. And actually, I'm going to go back to, because this is related to teaching and training as well. This is related to friendship, family, so many things. I told you the story of, because she's given me permission to share it, Trish belaying. So I'm climbing a wall and my life literally is in her hands. And just before that, everyone, she gave me permission to share many times, everyone had already sorted out the belaying and she couldn't get it. And she was so frightened because we're going to be belaying. Are you kidding me? Somebody could die, right? You know? And she was getting stressed. I just stood beside her And I didn't go, oh my goodness, yes, this is stressful, this is awful, oh my goodness, and hurry up because you're holding us up. There wasn't anything in me like that. She could get it or not get it. It didn't matter to me. We had plenty of time. I'm just here. Nobody cared. Didn't matter. Because we didn't care whether she got it or not. And because there weren't time limits. She found her way. She got it. It changed everything for her. I didn't need to be miserable or stressed or whatever it was like she was. I just knew the best in her. And the best didn't have to do with whether she got it or not. It didn't matter. It didn't at all affect my opinion of her, of the moment. I'm just there. I'm just a channel. I'm just holding space. She got it. She was overjoyed. It transformed everything for her. And then instead of just going like, yay, and even being there with her in that moment, it's like, yay, good, phew, okay, and I better protect you because you just got it. I don't want to mess up that moment because otherwise it might fall apart. I'm still seeing the best in her. Great. Then are the ones who's instructing us says, okay, who wants to go first? I said, I will. As leader, I won't always go first. I will. Trish, I'd like you to belay for me. What? Just kept seeing the highest in her. And it didn't matter to me whether she said yes or she said no. She decided to do it. Life changing. When I say I trust you with my life, I think the world of you and I trust you. I really mean it. I've done it before, right? With a client. And I feel the same way about each of you. So hopefully that responds to your question, Dottie. Thank you.
Beautiful, Michelle. Thank you so much. Beautiful.
Thank you. And I know that you really heard that in her response and how wonderful it is to be heard as a facilitator too. Not attached, preferences, but no needs. I prefer that you hear. If you don't hear, that's okay. Otherwise, I'm going to suffer. Thank you for hearing so deeply. Thank you for the question. Thank you for hearing so deeply.
That will change my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Dottie. Beautiful. Beautiful. One aha, a word or two or three. Just before that, the really important piece that Yvonne and I asked her to raise her hand because I'm so focused here that there's a really important piece that could have got missed. Oh my goodness, you're not going to want to miss this. So Yvonne and Marie are having private sessions again for you should you choose to accept. So there's a private session with one or the other of them for each one of you should you choose to accept it, all right? So if you haven't yet had a private session, Yvonne has just posted the sign-up sheet, and she will also post it in the Facebook page if there are any spots left. I don't mind in this moment if you're multitasking and filling in that form to grab one of those spots. And let me see, while you're multitasking, because I don't want you to be multitasking while people are saying their ahas. Right? I don't mind if half of you is only half of you is listening to me right now, that's okay. I think what I want to do while we're waiting for people to register for those spots is to remind you we're meeting again tomorrow at 9. Also to remind you that tomorrow is our last full day. It's our last full day. And it's like, it feels like endless time in some ways. Like there's only ever been the Mexico at home retreat. And sometimes it feels that way. And also here we are in the last full day. And Saturday is a drawing the threads together today. And how do we take it home? So Saturday, crucial. Oh man, if you have any plans, please change them. It's really important to know how to bring that home and to draw the threads together of what we've been doing. So 9 till 12 on Saturday. And tomorrow, our last full day, it's our why day, having a big why. So you can already start in the back. You don't have to, it's not part of your home play, but if you choose to, just because I wanted to give that space to you for enrolling for those sessions with Yvonne, those amazing sessions with Yvonne and Marie, you can start thinking about what's my why. Now don't be heavy about it. Don't add it to your homework. Boy, I gotta figure out my why or the world is gonna fall apart. I'd rather that you go strolling in the fields. I'd rather that it come up spontaneously because you see a grasshopper and you play with it while they're walking and something will come and land because you don't have to figure it out yourself. Remember the opening day? You don't have to figure it out. But in case some of you want to play with it, there it is. That's the theme for our day, all right? And hopefully that gave you enough time to register. I want to remind you that Yvonne and Marie, they have both multiple times and continuously in my life been my ideal listener. They are astounding listeners. They have heard things that I haven't heard. They've seen things in me that I haven't seen. And I've been teaching this stuff for years. So I hope and trust that you will make use of those, that amazing opportunity to be heard, to dive in with one thing that you know the power of the mastermind to, right? Yesterday, that one thing you dive into and oh my goodness. So please make use of these brilliant and beautiful sessions. All right, we're going to close out this session on aha, one or two or three words. And Yvonne, because I know these sessions are starting up soon and you're in my upper left-hand corner, if you want to say your aha and then go, no offense taken, because Yvonne is going to be, it's been a very full day and then she's in service very soon so she can rest and restore and be fully present for all the people she's going to serve this afternoon. So Yvonne, you're up first. One or two or three words, not more than a sentence.
My words matter.
I can't help myself, and I know, you are quoting on a week-long retreat, one of our alumni, this was what she drew from the whole of the retreat. She said, if I have to sum it up in three words, that's what she said, I know you remember. And the next year she came back to the very same retreat, she said, I've got a new aha, Michelle. And it was built on that. The next year she came back, she said, Michelle, I matter. It was beautiful. I heard, and I know that they didn't necessarily hear the echo of that, and that these are your words spoken here. Yes, they do. Thank you, Yvonne. Beautiful. And if you want to go, thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow. And some of you will see her later this afternoon. Thank you, Yvonne. Bless you, my friend. Teresa.
Listen simply.
It's cutting out all that extra stuff. It's so simple to listen, but we're so trained to all these layers as we cut them away. It is. It's. I love that you heard that. Listen simply, and it's such a simple and beautiful, profound practice. Thank you, Teresa. Beautiful. Mary Kay.
Something about speaking to my family.
I'm so glad that Wendy asked that question. And there's something about, and maybe you're about to do that. Maybe it's just the pondering of it. Maybe it's, but I love that Wendy brought that to the forefront earlier. Love that. Whatever it is, maybe it's just percolating. It's perfect. Thank you.
It's active.
It's active, did you say? Yes, actually doing it. Fantastic. Love it. Marla.
Still percolating.
And that's perfect. That's perfect. That was said with such definitiveness. Could you hear that? Clarity. I was like, don't mess with me, Michelle. It's percolating. Could you hear that? Even with all that has been moving, Marla found those very clear words. Not like Michelle, back off. I hate you. More like just standing in her power. I'm like, that's clear. Beautiful, Marla. Thank you. Yes, got it. Dottie.
I matter.
And I love that. Building on what Yvonne just said earlier, the words that I said, and Yvonne is, oh boy, do I want to pass that on to her too. What sparked in you from that? I heard that. Beautiful. Thank you, Dottie. Yes, you do. Thank you. Thank you for owning that.
Thank Wendy. You.
Embodying the crown.
Ah, look at that ever-present, missing, ever-present, absolutely there crown. I love it. Thank you, Wendy. Tracy. Oh,
you hear me.
Thank you, Casey. You hear me?
Love it. Steve.
Be gentle with the newborn writing.
I'm so glad you said that. Because it's so important. And that has to do with every single piece that we write, always. Thank you. For ourselves, for each other, changes the world. Sherry.
Profound listening.
Enacted, present, real, here, beautiful. Yes. Lindsay.
Too blessed to be stressed.
What a perfect place to end. As we see the blessings in our world, and I know that each one of you has touched that in different ways, sometime either this afternoon or earlier in the week or here together. And then all those other things, they fall away. Yes, they can come back in. Yes, it's an ebb and flow. I get it. But how much we can be filled by this, how much the energy of this to move forward in our companies, in our world, with our families. How beautiful is that? No better place to end than that today. Thank you so much, everybody, for a fabulous, fabulous day. Enjoy your private sessions with Yvonne. Enjoy your private sessions with Marie. Have a beautiful time dancing, walking, sharing, enjoying, basking, taking great care of yourself. We'll see you all tomorrow morning at 9 Mountain Time. Have a great, great afternoon. We'll love you all. Bye-bye for now.